The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here live on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area and Transformation Talk Radio around the world. You might also be watching live on Facebook Live on my professional page or on Transformation Talk Radio or after the fact on one of the dozens of podcasts that sends up. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, you're going to be grateful because we're going to be talking about an eye-opening kind of subject in a way that perhaps you haven't heard about yet, because we are at a new stage of almost disclosure. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to the people behind the technology. Benny Mathers at KKNW. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, Christine. Hopefully you are staying cool at the moment.
Yes, I'm so fortunate to have a heat pump, which means it's not only heat, but air conditioner when I need it. And oh my gosh, I cannot believe it's going to be well over 100 in the Seattle area.
That's expected. That's projection.
Yeah, I saw 108 in Woodinville projected for Monday. And, you know, most people in the Seattle area don't have air conditioners. So, you know,
it's going to be wild.
It's going to be wild and, hopefully not too tragic.
But, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
And hello to Jacob or Olivia or whoever's at TTR. Good morning.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. Thanks,
Olivia,
Jacob.
And you know what? I do not have air conditioning, so I will be suffering this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Jacob.
That's all right.
I'm really excited about our guest today because we are going to be talking about extraterrestrial contact, but not the kind of contact, not just the kind of contact we've had for, you know, a variety of people over the last 50 years, 75 years, whatever it's been, but a type of disclosure where it may become much more widespread. And we've got a wonderful expert here today to talk about it, Alan Steinfeld. He is an explorer of consciousness. For 30 years, he has hosted and produced the weekly television series called New Realities in New York City. He's got 68,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. His videos have been viewed more than 20 million times. And he's also interviewed the kinds of people that we've interviewed on this show. And but he talks a lot about spirituality and UFOs. And we're going to talk about that connection here today. For over 5 years, he has emceed the largest UFO event in the country, Contact in the Desert. I would like to welcome our guest today, Alan Steinfeld. Hi, Alan.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Great to see you. I think I've worked with Benny before on
this
stage. Yes,
you have. Earlier, last week, as a matter of fact, on another show
here. Loretta Brown, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, great station you got here, Benny.
Well, thank you very much. I don't take full responsibilities, or but I do what I can. But thank you for coming back.
Go ahead, Benny.
Right. Full credit.
You're an important part of it, Benny.
Well, I'll let you guys just do your show. That's great. Thanks. All right.
And, of course, we've also we're also fortunate enough to be on Transformation Talk Radio as well, and we're grateful for that. Now, Alan, you know, I've been following this subject, certainly not as closely as you have, but I've been following this subject for decades because I've had my own experience, and we can talk about that later. But I'm really curious. Let's start with the bird's eye view here right now. Why is the conversation changing?
That is a really good question that I don't think anyone has a solid answer for, but I'll give you what I think is going on. So there's three things. There's more sightings than ever in the sky. There seems to be some kind of fracture within those holding the secrets in government. Like, well, it started in 2017 with the release of the black budget from the Pentagon, the Senate. $22 million were given to study UFOs, now called UAPs. I can talk about what that rebranding was about, going from UFOs to UAPs. So that's it. And so there's the ETs, there's us, and there's a change, if you want to go there, in the vibration of this world, where more people are realizing that we're less dense, we're more energy than matter. And that seems to be a shifting paradigm. And these beings, whoever they are, I think function in that energy realm. So that's sort of little keys to why this is happening now. I think the main thing is, though, something's changed within government. I think Luis Elizondo coming forward, you know who he is, Luis Elizondo?
The name's familiar. Remind me.
Okay, he's really central to the disclosure movement. He worked for the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That was the program that was given $22 million by Harry Reid to study the phenomena from 2007 to 2012. Elizondo was just a regular intelligence officer, didn't know anything about any of this. And he starts to look at these papers and goes, hey, there's something going on here. How come other people don't know we're being visited by, you know, little gray beings or whatever color they are this year? So Elizondo starts to make a big deal, and there's nobody willing to back him up. He leaves the Pentagon, although I don't know if you ever can leave the Pentagon. Forms another organization called To the Stars Academy, where these are civilians or people who've left the military coming forward and saying there's something going on. So what happens now in the Pentagon is they disavow Elizondo for ever having worked there. He gets upset. He says, how could you do away with a whole 30-year career? He gets Danny Sheehan, who is a people's lawyer. You know who Danny Sheehan is? Danny Sheehan defended Daniel Ellsberg in the Pentagon Papers. He defended John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist who said they were aliens. Danny Sheehan also stood up for Standing Rock. So he is like the people's lawyer. Elizondo hires Danny Sheehan to defend him for the smear campaign that seems to be happening against him, because somebody doesn't like what Elizondo's saying about aliens. So that whole thing comes down where there's more going on than people have said. And Elizondo now has filed a whistleblower complaint with the inspector general. Danny Sheehan, this lawyer, the people's lawyer, has just gone to Congress and said, okay, there's a complaint and we're going to push this as far as we can. You know, what are you going to do about it? So Sheehan, who's a really great lawyer, I feel, for us, the people, wants to push this to Congress. I think he wants to get congressional hearings out in the open about what they've been hiding for the last really 74 years since Roswell. So yeah, it's a big, big story with lots of moving parts.
It's interesting, Alan, because a few weeks ago I had somebody on who is in the military, and he was one of the first responders at the Pentagon on 9/11. And he spent 20 days and he's been coming forth saying things aren't as they have been reported, because, you know, there were just a whole lot of inconsistencies. And suddenly the military is disavowing that he was ever there. So right. It's the same kind of thing. It's this. There's cover up upon cover up upon cover up. And yet I agree with you that there's something about the frequency of the planet that has changed, as well as the fact that there are so many inconsistencies right now within the context of what we're being told versus truth. And yes, there are a whole lot of people who are still asleep, but yet there are more and more who are awakening to the fact that we've been told lies. We have been sold propaganda, manipulated, So if that's the case, if more and more people are waking up, then A, it may be a more of a threat to the powers that be within the context of our 3D world. But also it could be that things are moving so that we do end up with a greater and more obvious disclosure.
Right. That's the purpose of my book, is to push the envelope of how consciousness is involved in this, how we as a much more complex, much more sophisticated beings, race of beings, and that's been repressed and suppressed by the powers that be that don't, for some reason, we can get to that, don't want to tell us who we really are, the capabilities we have as non-local consciousness, the power to remote view. Like right here, if we were empty enough of all our stuff, we could know everything about anything, because our right brain, and I teach remote viewing, is not confined to this hardware machine, but it is a non-local, let's say it's like an internet that has access to all knowledge. We just have to get our old programs out of the way in order to realize this knowledge is right here. But the other big question I think you're asking sort of is why aren't they telling us what's going on? What is the big secret, right? I mean, why have we been playing this game for 74 years since Roswell? And why is it coming out now? So that's what you asked before. I think I think, first of all, they don't know how to explain this phenomena. They don't know what is going on. And that's one of the reasons they went from flying object to unexplained aerial phenomena. So they went from unidentified flying object, which really doesn't mean anything. If you saw a UFO in the sky, you identified it as unidentified, what would that even mean? You're just identifying. It's like doublespeak. But this is more than an object. This seems to be a phenomena. This seems to affect time, space, perceptions. There seems to be a paranormal element. There seems to be synchronicities, telepathy. It involves so much more. And this has been documented in the ATIP, if you look at their findings. So ATIP was the program that was sponsored, and you could read up about them, look up ATIP documents. There were 7 documents that were smuggled out of the Pentagon to talk about their research. So this is a phenomena, and that's a hint to why they're not telling us what's going on, because this cannot be explained in ordinary terms. If it was just, yeah, there's people or beings visiting us from another planet, it would be much easier to explain. But there's more to this that makes it a lot more complicated and sophisticated than just visitors from outer space.
Yeah. And one of the things that the more I've learned about this, that becomes more obvious to me, is that the fact that at least some of these beings are really interdimensional. It's not about getting into a spaceship and flying, you know, millions of light years to get here, although there may be some that are doing that, but rather it's about sort of coming from some other realm into this 3D realm, or maybe even a 4D or 5D realm, interacting with our consciousness as well as our physicality. And so that kind of is mind-boggling for people who are thinking in the 3D realm. But if we accept that aspect of it, then we have, it gives us, it illuminates more for us about what more we can tap into. It's not just about can we create the right kind of you know, spaceship to travel to Mars or another solar system, mm-hmm. but rather can we move in and out of these realities ourselves?
Well, that's the point of it all. And that's what I think government and military is just used to, kind of a very linear way of thinking. We're here to defend whoever they're here to defend. They haven't accepted the spiritual levels of this vibrational shift, the fact that actually we are really interdimensional. I think we travel through interdimensions all the time, at least in our dream state. So, and that's I think that's part of the key to making contact. I mentioned that in my book, is becoming lucid enough to understand altered states of consciousness and not just, drug-induced states. That only gets you, someone said, that's like looking out a window, but you want to go through the door to have access to that all the time. You want to call on that higher states, where it's not induced, but something outside of us, but it's an aspect of our knowing. So let's get more lucid in these altered states, and we will be able, I think, to establish contact, because they don't exist in this realm, at least from my experiences. My experiences have been in dreamlike states. I wouldn't say they were dreams, because you forget your dreams as you wake up in the morning. They sort of like fade. But these dreams I've had, and many, many other people, are dreamlike, but you don't forget them. They stay with you.
And interestingly enough, I've had a couple of experiences, and when people talk about the grays, I know exactly what they smell like.
You do?
I do. It's like this musty, earthy smell. And it's like, okay, well, yes, I've experienced these things in a somewhat dreamlike state, and yet my sense of smell I've got this very distinct memory of it. And so the question becomes then, okay, if it is happening in this other realm, then perhaps in our physicality, we can actually move from one dimension to another, and one realm to another. Or perhaps it's also happening within the context of our 3D world.
Well, we have to dissect what 3D world really is, because we've been so narrowly conditioned to think in a very, small-minded way by our media, our religion, our culture, all those things. And maybe the 3D world is bigger than we thought. Like when I teach remote viewing and other courses, I play that video of the gorilla walking through this basketball court. Have you ever seen that one?
Yes.
And I'd say 90% of the people do not see the guy in the gorilla suit pounding its chest, because I told them just count the number of passes. And I show it again, and they say, well, first I say, yeah, who saw the gorilla? They think I'm crazy because I've even asked the question. And that's right in their reality. They're looking at it. I just told them to look for something else. So we're so conditioned to see only what we've been conditioned to see. And there's a lot more happening right here. I've seen orbs around me in this reality, but I think because you were able to smell, and actually when my abduction, I had an actual mark on my leg, like a little puncture mark that happened overnight when I was driving cross country, and I felt like I was frozen throughout the night. So we have to redefine reality. We have to redefine what we think and what we know. We have to broaden our view of what's possible. And
absolutely. And speaking of broadening our view, I mean, for me, along the way, I've had some spontaneous things. Decades ago, I had spontaneous past life memory. 15 years ago, I had a spontaneous, basically seeing another version of me where I never moved from Lincoln, Nebraska, and interacted with her. And I've had a couple of interactions like that. So it's...
How was that depressing? No.
No, it was fascinating. I mean, okay. I can go into that more if you're interested, but it's... Her cigarette smoking was affecting my lungs in this life.
Wow.
And so I learned that I could sort of create a boundary. And then fast forward a number of years, I was having a hard time letting go of some grief. And all of a sudden, while sitting in rush hour traffic, my guide sort of showed me her life versus my life. It was this vibrational AB comparison. And I understood where all this pain was about expansion. And this was the life I wanted to focus on right now. And so, I talk about it in one of my YouTube videos, but it's the kind of thing where if we can't wrap our silly little human minds around aspects of reality, then how are we going to integrate and process this interaction with extraterrestrials that are coming from a much broader aspect of reality?
Yeah, no, we have to retrain and re-educate ourselves about the nature of time, space, the nature of our multidimensional existence, like you've had, and even understanding past lives or maybe their parallel lives. And and this, you know, religion has gotten a hold of our belief systems. And this is not religious, but it's spiritual. And the spiritual science, the science of incarnation, is the true science, which in a way, I don't know if you're religious or not, but it sort of does away with religion. It does away with the dogmas. And let's look at the science of who we are as incarnational beings in this body and the scope of our minds. And let's throw out all the dogma. And let's sit down and see, why are we here? Who are we really? And I think the ETs, whatever they are, because no one really knows what they are here to wake us up to what consciousness really is. And I do think they can manipulate other time, space, dimensions with the power of their consciousness, because they know how to use this, and we just, like all of us, just stumble upon it once in a while. We see a parallel life or a past life, and it's like, how did we get there? Or an out of body or something. But this is science of the mind that we could learn if we were only taught that it was okay, and we overcame the psychological barriers, the psychological barriers that have been put on us, not our own psychology, but what we think the mind is capable of. So when you start to see visions or hear voices, even psychology says you're crazy. But, you know, what if we trusted that? And what if we overcame that very limited psychological framework and expanded the possibility of what we're allowed to think and feel and interact with? So I say psychology has done us a great service in understanding ourselves, and it's done us a great disservice in distrusting our own minds.
Mm-hmm. And our belief systems are so co-created by the cultural structures, from the family unit and religion to, you know, our educational system, to our media and our government. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes, you know, and this is conspiracy theory perspective, have our belief systems been manipulated in order to preserve some sort of status quo that we might not be fully aware of?
Well, yes, I do think so. I'll get into that. But that is why a lot of us in this disclosure movement are pushing the government to come forward, because once that's out of the bag, and it's sort of halfway out, because the New York Times has said, you know, well, there are UAPs, they're not from any place on Earth. The Navy has acknowledged UFOs. Luis Elizondo on 60 Minutes, if you saw that program, 60 Minutes, says, look, UFOs are real. The government has stated that. So once that is official, that allows other people to stretch their boundaries of belief. So we have been, I think it's sort of a conspiracy, but my research is that, and this might be shocking, is that we have been controlled by an alien force for thousands of years. Some people call that the Archons, and has limited our scope of thinking in order for us to be controlled. And these beings, this may be really out there, feed off our emotions, our addictions, our obsessions. That is their food, that energy. And so we've been kept in that role of fear and survival, because that's what feeds that with this archonic race. And so what's happening now is that because the vibration is raising, they're losing their grip on that lower, denser mindset.
And yet, Ellen, I think about what has unfolded over the last year and a half with our health crisis, and I'm not going to say any of the words that will trigger, you know, getting flagged on social right. media, YouTube, but the fear that has been generated is just incredible. And some may say that the fear was, you know, there was good reason for the fear. Others may say that there wasn't good reason for the fear, but there's been a lot of fear. And I think that for many of us, what we've had to do for our evolution over the last year and a half is to step out of that fear. And if you think, if what you're saying is true, and it may very well be true about, you know, these races feeding off of the fear, then boy, they were having quite the banquet the past year and a half.
Right. Well, it's never, I mean, fear is never anything that we have to listen to. I mean, if someone told you your house was on fire, you wouldn't fear it. You would take action. So I think even though the fear was generated this past year, I think taking precautions, actions, whatever. So we don't need to fear it if we're, you know, can take what we need to do. So to protect
us. And Ellen, for me, I was very afraid at the beginning, and then something happened and I kind of like broke through my fear after a couple of months. And then I started doing research. I happen to be a former research statistician. I used to design and analyze clinical trials. I've co-authored articles in medical journals. I know how to read medical journals. I know it makes a good study. And I started to listen without the fear and then do a dive into the actual research. And it's like,
what did you find? Wait. What did you find when you dived into the research?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, I have to be very careful because we've already like lost our streaming privileges on YouTube for a week because of my shows. But essentially, this had no purpose. And in fact, it can increase your risk of respiratory illness. People weren't dying of viral infections. They were dying of hypoxia. It was like things did not fit. And if you look at the number of people who died in our country, and you look year by year by year by year, you think, why was there such a big deal made? So I'm not going to go into details here.
What's hypoxia? What is that?
Basically, the red blood cells cannot get oxygen. And so what happens is people who climb high mountains and don't have the right equipment, they get hypoxia. And one of the things that happens when you get hypoxia is your lungs fill with fluid. It's not a viral infection. It is, and you have coagulation issues, which can cause blood clots and that sort of thing. And so it's like, so when I stepped outside of the fear, which was a really important part of evaluating the nature of our reality, you know, whether it's what we're being told from, you know, the so-called experts in medicine, or whether we're talking about alien interactions. It's like, if we can let go of the fear, then we can process the information differently and integrate perhaps a new perspective on reality.
Well, that's exactly why I say in this book about these alien contacts, there's nothing to fear. We only fear what we know. This represents an unknown, a key unknown factor. They may not even be aliens. They may be something so utterly different than we can conceive. They may not be interdimensional. They may be, I don't think we can even think about what they may be because it's outside our frame of reference, but that is what I think they are. And there's nothing to fear about that. People only project what they know onto the unknown. I say the unknown is full of wonder, possibility, and excitement that a new chapter is unfolding in human history. And the fear, we have more to fear from each other, fellow human beings, than we do from anything out there. The worst has already happened, that we've been mind controlled for thousands of years. So maybe this time of upliftment, some people say ascension, some people say transformation, is upon us, and people don't want to let go of the fear. They don't want to let go of the known, because the known gives them a little safety and security. But what I'm saying is the unknown represents a much higher level of living, of human coexistence, of waking up to the true potential in the human being, who we really are. This is what these beings are kind of coaxing us to, a new future, because we've been our own worst enemies. So if we want to fear something, fear what we've already done to each other. But that time is changing, hopefully, where we have to know we're one planet. We are basically one species sharing consciousness. This is what I write about, what Bruce Lipton said in an interview I did with him at the end of my book. We are not humans until we have humanity. Humanity is the global consciousness that knows we're all cells in one living body, and that we're all working in a coherent fashion, but individual in our own sovereignty. So, you know, so anyone who's suffering is me suffering, or right, starving, or homeless. It's like, and you can just look at them and feel that. And this is what, you know, the human element of compassion and empathy and love and all these things, which are been universal concepts that we've been trying to get to, but then we put up borders and boundaries and all these things. I mean, it's okay to have boundaries, I guess, but it's, you know, it's these divisions. And that's what's, and weapons, and, you know, these ETs, if that's what they are very concerned about our nuclear weapons. And they've been over these nuclear weapon silos, turning off the nuclear codes, because that is what began this increase, this wave of flying saucers after the atom bomb was dropped. They showed up in Roswell because that's where the people who dropped the atom bomb were located. That's where they're, so it's like a key in there. Why Roswell? Why there? So, well, because when I think when you blow up something like that, you really disturb time and space. You disturb the local universe, and where it's like, you know, wow, what's that's going on? These beings may have said, it's like having a splinter in your little toe. It's like maybe a small little thing, but if you don't take it out, if you don't, like, you know, make your body whole, it'll bother you. And that's, we're like a little splinter because we're so violent in nature, and it's our animal nature. So we have to rise above the animal, which has been our 5,000 year process, or 20,000 or 100,000, as some people say. So we're at a time of a discovery. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
I want to take a step back because you were talking about how, you know, we have perhaps been controlled for, you know, thousands of years by some species or some version of aliens, whether they're, you know, we consider them species or not. And yet you're talking about aliens who want to help.
Right.
We've got two kinds, right? So first of all, should people be afraid?
Well, people should never be afraid, because a fear, like I said, does never helps anyone. Like, just if you were afraid of the virus, just turn off your television, you know, and stop listening. But okay, you're saying, okay, should people, what's your rest of that question?
So, you know, there are people who've talked about some pretty negative experiences within the context of alien abductions, alien interactions. And also, if there are these species that want to control us and want us to be in fear, they don't seem like they're really our friends. So I think what happens is, you know, even within the consciousness community, there's this sense of, okay, there are these, there's these beings who want to help us and are going to help us to, you know, become, you know, more expansive, more powerful beings and more peaceful planet. But what about the bad ones?
Well, the bad ones, the ones that have been here for thousands of years controlling our minds, some people call them maybe the Anunnaki, or some people, there's some shamanic traditions that talk about this. There's some other Gnostic traditions who talk about these demiurges, these false gods. So in order to overcome that, we have to be in control of our own minds. We have to be sovereign in ourselves. We have to know who we are, what we think, and get over the conditioning of the dramas that we have locked us into fear and survival. So there's never any time to fear. Like I said, there's only time to take action. Fear is the emotional response to survival. But if your survival is threatened, do you fear it or do you do something about it? So if we can overcome the fear, be more lucid within the state of consciousness, and get ourselves out of the mess we've created. So they're here to help those other beings, but they're not going to, you know, clean up our planet for us. The everything we've, you know, kept unsacred, you know, we have to clean up our mess, get over our addictions, get over our dramas. Some people don't even know what that means, to get over their dramas, but just step back and observe the chaos, observe it all. If you can be the observer of reality as opposed to the victim of it, then you're on a path of discovering the higher knowledge. So they're here to not do it for us, but to make sure we don't blow ourselves up, and to not even assist us. You know, if you help the chick hatch out of the egg, it won't be strong enough to survive. Well, we're this little chick, kind of, and the egg is a self-imposed limitation. And by overcoming that, I think we become equals to these beings that have dominated and controlled us for years. So if we can hatch ourselves out of this limited space, if we can get out of the matrix, and Bruce Lipton says that that movie was not just a motion picture, that was a documentary. So if we can get out of the matrix, as we've been told and brainwashed, and this is what's so great about your program and the internet and everything people are talking about, there's more access to information. Of course, there's a lot more stuff to wade through, but I think there's a chance for greater truth because of research we can all do. So yes, if we can start to wake each other up, remind each other who we are, realize that we're part of a greater cosmology, that life itself is not a freak chance of you know, some amino acids being combined in some, you know, salty sea by a strike of lightning, but life is an abundant quality throughout the multiverse, and intelligent life is really what we descended from, not necessarily a god, but in a grand intelligence. You know, Freud's whole idea about the death wish was that things evolve back to the state that they came from. If we came from a dead universe, the natural impulse for living things is to go back to dead things. But if we've come from a higher consciousness, that same impulse is to evolve back to that higher consciousness. So,
I think, Ellen, that if we can let go of the perpetual fear, because that's really it. It's the habit of fear, not the fear itself. Because when something comes up, as you say, there's, you know, fear can trigger boundaries, fear can trigger action. But if we aren't in that perpetual fear, then it allows us to discern and tune in to that higher power, that deeper wisdom, to the sort of the energetics of what's here to support us and what needs to be dispelled. So I think that if we could just get out of that hamster wheel of fear, that is a really powerful place to be.
Right. We drop into if we can just sit in meditation. I think Pascal, the French philosopher, said all problems can be solved if you just sit for a few hours by yourself in a room. So it's like, if we can just drop into who we really are, making contact is really making contact with ourselves, that part of our still small voice within. And, you know, feel, I mean, I do that at night before I go to bed. I just like kind of lay there and collect myself and everything I've done and just find a peace that just allows me to go to sleep, just to drop into myself and feel relaxed. I mean, we have to create environments that are relaxing and not stressful. Mm-hmm. But if we can do that, that's better than going to any church or, you know, but some people find that in nature, in the woods, by the ocean, this kind of peace that passes all understanding. If you can find that, then you've dropped into the divine within. And there, if you have that place and are present with that place, fear does not exist in that place.
And by the way, you said a phrase that I think is absolutely fabulous. Making contact is about making contact with ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's really powerful, Alan.
Right. With ourselves, with the earth, each other, and whatever is in this unknown moment that we are on the threshold of. So there's, for me, there's nothing to fear. There's only excitement about what the unknown can bring, because we don't know. We're only projecting what we know onto the unknown. But if you're just open, Krishnamurti says true freedom is freedom from the known. And when you are at, it's like being at the edge of your surfboard, in a sense, where you're just, you know, you're just there and it's all rushing by you. And most people are looking backwards through life. But if we can look forward, then eternity is rushing into this greater mind that all of us possess.
So, Alan, your book is called Making Contact. Can you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit more about the format of the book and why you chose to write it?
Well, I chose to write it because it's something I've been obsessed with for 30, 40 years, since I had a contact experience in 1987, driving cross country. And it's in the book, my story. But I wanted to prove this was true to myself. So I went to every single, you know, UFO conference. I sought out people like Bud Hopkins and John Mack, Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe. These are, I call them the Michael Jordans of our league. These are the all-stars of our league. And I wanted to hear what they had to say, because they've been researching this since the 70s, some of them. And they are really intelligent people. So I put the best I could find in this book. So this is a collection of the best and the brightest who have studied the phenomena from their own point of view. And they all have their own opinions. And part of the reason of making an anthology is because no one has all the answers. I want the reader to come to their own conclusion. So the format is to go from the external, the exo, to the esso, the exo, esso, exoteric. Like what is the government saying? What are the nuts and bolts hardware of the phenomena? And going, that's the first essay by Nick Pope, who worked for the Ministry of Defense in the UK. They would just investigate sightings, confirm sightings. And that's one level, people seeing the objects. And that's sort of the level we're at now with the government. Yes, there are objects out there. We don't know what they are. This is what Nick Pope says. Yeah, there's something there. We don't know what they are. But then the next chapter is Grant Cameron, who says that, well, if you really want to know what's going on, talk to the experiencers. Don't talk to the military. They don't know what's going on. So then we get into this understanding of what people have had interactions. And we go deeper into that subject. So it goes from investigators to what I call researchers, people like John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist. Do you know who John Mack was?
Yes, yes.
He wrote the book Abduction. He thought all these people were crazy talking about their abductions and their interaction, until he started talking to these people. And he said, well, these people are not any crazier than anyone else. And what they're feeling is real emotion. So he said, maybe they're having an experience outside our paradigm of belief, because just because it doesn't fit into our worldview doesn't mean it's not possible. Like those people I showed that video to who didn't see the gorilla, they thought that was impossible, but that wasn't their worldview, because I directed their worldview. I said, just look at the people counting the passes. So we have to expand our worldview. We have to expand what's possible. This is what John Mack says. Linda Moulton Howe talks to whistleblowers inside government who have come forward and told her in this chapter, she says, what these alien races are like, who they are, what they want here. And then they go into people who are deep inside the phenomenon, like Whitley Strieber, who wrote the book Communion. And he was initially freaked out. And it addresses what you said before. I would say from the study called Free that Edgar Mitchell and Ray Hernandez put together, 80% of the people who have had these scary abductions have come around and saw the benefit of it. They saw that on some level it was there to evolve them. So, yes, there's trauma involved when these things show up in the middle of the night and we're not prepared for them. But in the integration process of that, there's expansion of mind. So it's not pleasant. I mean, I'm still, I wouldn't say traumatized, but I haven't integrated all of my experience for some reason. So there's a, so yes, it may seem like an invasion, and maybe it is because they don't have great bedside manners, but there's something bigger going on here. And if it is a multidimensional world and we exist on many levels at once, then maybe part of us was responsible for that. I mean, I'm not excusing awful behavior that way, but there is an assimilation where people feel there's a shift in their own consciousness once they make peace with this this interaction. So I talked to Whitley Strieber, and then I talked to people who've had very positive contacts, people like Daryl Anka. You know who Daryl Anka is? Mm-hmm. He channels Bashar. He's had a 38-year relationship with this entity, extraterrestrial entity named Bashar, and he writes a chapter as himself talking about what it's like to make contact with an extraterrestrial for all this time and how he's woken up. And I talked to Mary Rodwell, who's talking to star seeds and talking to children 3 and 4 and 5 years old about what they remember from their other lives, other planets coming here to Earth, and the messages of hope and cleaning up the planet that they bring here. And the last chapter is Carolyn Corey, who I think is probably one of the most integrated people with this ET consciousness. She says that with, in a sense, she doesn't say that, but what I extract from this is that we are extraterrestrial. Our minds, what makes us human, is very different than all the other animals on this planet. There's something that I feel has been upgraded and manipulated and hybridized for human beings that make us different. And I think who we are extraterrestrial beings in a Earth body. But now it's time to wake up to this greater cosmology and find out who we really are and not keep that a secret. I don't know why the government's having such a hard time saying aliens. Come on, just come out and say it. Right.
Well, I think that there's some stuff to unpack there. But before we go any further, I want people to know how they can connect with you and how they can buy one of your books or your book.
Well, I've been doing shows a couple of times a week on this subject. It's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/newrealities. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and buy the book, Making Contact. You can buy it on Amazon. Alan Steinfeld, Making Contact, just type that in. It's also on Kindle and audio. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on all these other places that sell books. But I think Amazon gives me the best ratings. And write a review if you like the book. And it's this anthology that will take you deeper and deeper and deeper into what Making Contact's all about.
Mm-hmm. And we need the perspective right now. And it's interesting, Alan, because I think that for a long time, I thought, well, the government knows, but they just don't think that we can handle it. And I've come to another place now. I'm starting to suspect that they either aren't allowed to let us know about it, or there's something that they don't want us to know about it because it will affect how we feel about government.
Well, the other thing is maybe they just don't know what's going on. Maybe they can't explain it. And The other thing is maybe they're being manipulated by those negative ETs, right? Not to come out. And that could be possible. But I think something is changing. Don't you feel that?
Yeah. And I think that there's what I sense is that there's some fear about what is changing, not just from the whatever the negative energy is, but from the government itself. And some of us have this gut sense that before we get really good disclosure, we're going to get a version of fake disclosure that's going to put us into greater fear or attempt to put us into greater fear about it. So I think that your message right now about getting out of fear is a really important one.
Right. I don't know if we're going to get the fake disclosure, the false flag stuff. I know that's been going around, but I don't get that. I don't get that that's what they're going to do, because it would be too, it's too obvious. It's too, no, I think they have a hard enough time just explaining it without even putting on this kind of whole scenario. This is my feeling. And they are putting out the word threat. You know, this government program is called Advanced Threat Identification. But Danny Sheehan, you know who Danny Sheehan is? He's the lawyer for Luis Elizondo. He's a people's defendant. He defended John Mack at Harvard when they wanted to throw him out. He defended Daniel Ellsberg with the Pentagon Papers. He was a lawyer at Standing Rock, one of the standing up for the Lakota Sioux. So he's now defending Luis Elizondo in this whistleblower complaint when they tried to do away with his record. And he asked Luis, well, what's the fear part here? And Elizondo says, well, none of the higher ups seem to be concerned about it when we talked about these UAPs. And it seems to not be a fear factor. That's just a way of getting money to study something by putting that word threat in there. But if we were really told the truth about this, I think this would be a great day. Imagine free energy. Imagine the biological breakthroughs. Imagine the shift in history, the shift in perspective. I think this represents a renaissance that we are at the verge of if we can get rid of the fear, the limitations. Yeah, I think there's fear among people because their world is going to change. You know, their world is, and with reality is more solid than the ground beneath your feet. And if we tell people it's not what they thought it was, there will be a reaction. But why not be told the truth and wake up to the new realities of extraterrestrial existence? That's the subtitle of the book. And face a greater world, face a greater possibility of life in the universe. I think it's a glorious time ahead if we can just get over the fear, like you said.
And I think that it may actually blow our minds in terms of what it means to be within the context of this matrix we are in.
Yeah. Right. And we need to have our minds blown because it's not working on the level that's going on now.
It's the planet, you're so right about that.
The mass extinctions, the planet being destroyed, I think the environmental crisis and UFOs are going to pull us together to realize we are one planet, one species, one humanity, and that's a greater future.
Okay. So again, I want to mention New Realities on YouTube, right, and the book is called Making Contact.
Well, thank you for this intelligent discussion, because most people just have their questions planned out, but I prefer the dialogue where we can discover together.
Yeah, and there's so much to discover. My mind has been blown along the way, and I love taking a deep dive. I love the fact that you are taking the bird's eye view and presenting many different perspectives, because that's where that observer mode is where we find truth.
And no one has a whole truth. This is what I discovered in the UFO phenomena as I researched it. Well, everyone's saying something slightly different. I need to put this together for myself. That's what I asked the reader to do. Read it all without judgment and then see, what do you make of all this? How does
love
this
it
make sense? Yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Did you get a copy of the book? I'm going to send you a copy.
I haven't gotten it yet, but I got the PDF to be able to read. So thank you. Yes. And also, folks, I've got two different programs getting launched on the Academy of Divine Knowledge this month. So go to the homepage of my website and you'll be able to link to register for that. And there's a whole lot of other good stuff there. Alan, thanks again. Making contact. Exciting times.
Get it on Amazon. Thanks, Christine, for your time.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.